All right, our theme this year is Speak Up, Speak Up. Appreciate the messages that Pastor David shared these last 2 weeks and just building on this theme. Want to go back and just rehearse some of the things we shared in the first message I shared. And the first one was, the prime directive from the Lord is to speak up. And we saw that that's the Great Commission. We are told to go into the world and to speak the gospel to people. Romans 14:14 says, but how can they call on them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone speaks up? So it all comes back to our responsibility to speak up. We talked about we are Christ's ambassadors in the world. We speak for the kingdom of God. Just as an ambassador is from another country that comes to this country, they share the values and understanding and the point of view of the nation they come from. They represent that nation into an alien culture. We are ambassadors on this earth. And sometimes we forget that because we so get so close to the world that we're living in that we can't even know what the message is from the kingdom of God. But we're called to be ambassadors, to speak God's word into the situation. Our words enlighten people to God's ways, we talked about. We said that Jesus talked about, can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? And that's so much of our society. People are trying to find the answers. Don't know what it is. They try this, they read that, but implement this. All to no avail. It's the blind leading the blind. The so-called experts, sometimes they're as blind as the people they're trying to teach. Psalm 119:130 says, the entrance of your words give light. He gives understanding to the simple. You know, God's word works. God's ways work. His principles work. They're alien to our own understanding. But when you speak up and you share God's word, it enlightens people. And that's what we are needing to do. Then we talked about we are like salt sprinkled throughout the world. We're not the majority, but we're salt sprinkled throughout the world to have an influence on the area you are in. And the scripture says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. We don't speak up. Really, our impact as a Christian is worthless. We may be Christians. We might know the truth. But because we don't speak up, then it says, you know what? Your effectiveness in this world really doesn't amount to much. It's something for us to think about, really. I mean, we're going to stand before God. We have a commission. We get so caught up in this world. And we don't realize, you know what, we're saying we're to be salt. And if we aren't speaking the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, you know what? What worth do we have? Jesus spoke to that. The last one, Satan's main strategy is to quiet our voice. And we talked about when Peter and John, right after the ascension of Jesus, they were preaching. They were arrested, brought in before the authorities. Acts 4:18 says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Satan knew, you know, that's quiet their voice. Don't say anything in the name of Jesus. Satan knows that's powerful. It's life-changing. Life's transforming. Don't say anything in the name of Jesus. And what did they do? They went back to their own company and they prayed. And they asked God would give them boldness. They prayed for boldness. And it said the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they went forth, and they spoke the word of God. This is what we need. I'm praying this whole theme this year, speaking up, will give us a new boldness that we've never had before to do the work of God. Now, I've been mulling over these truths for the last couple of weeks while we've been away. And while we were away, we met this lady. Her name was Maris. And after we met her and interacted with her for a while, I realized she is the embodiment of everything we're trying to share in this theme. She is doing it. She is a living example of it. And it was just a delight to get to know her. It was last Sunday morning. We try to find a service to go to whenever we're away on vacation, but, you know, just the way it worked out, we didn't know where to go, didn't know what services would be in English. So we said, well, we'll just stream our own service. And so we found a place in the resort that had a strong enough Wi-Fi that we could stream the service. And I hate to tell you, but we looked, trying to find a shady place. The sun was so bright and so strong. So we found this shady place. We started to stream the service, and the worship team came on, and they were worshiping God, and we're sitting there under this little umbrella just back off the walkway, and this lady came down the walkway, and she heard the music, and she heard the worship. And as she was going by, she went like this. And so she said, what are you listening to? I said, we're listening to our service back in Canada. She said, you want to come and listen to it? Yes, I do, she said. She said, I was just thinking today, I wanted to go to church. I didn't know where to go. She said, I prayed and I asked the Lord, Lord, I want to go to church today. Make a way for me to go to church. So she came and she had to go and make some arrangements because she knew she was going to be with us for a while. I went and got a chair for her. So three of us sat there and we watched the service. So we had church with you, two or three gathered together and worshiping God. And she told us after she heard Pastor David's message, she said, oh, that message was just for me. I was to be here today. I was to be listen to that word, and it helped me so much. So we got talking to her about the theme. Well, first of all, as we're listening to the service, this man walks along, three of us here, and this man walks along, and he hears the noise, and he sort of looks over, wondering what it is, and Maris speaks up, and she says, we're in church. We're listening to a service in Canada. She said, you want to come and listen? And he goes, my grandmother, he said, is a Christian. And Maris said, wonderful, but what about you? And he said, my grandmother's a Christian. And she said, well, that's not going to do you any good, what your grandmother is. She said, you need to become a Christian. You need to experience it. And so he sort of nodded and smiled, and he walked on. And that was my first thought of someone speaking up. I would have sat there and just let him walk by. And I know we're all different. We have different personalities. And so I'm not trying to put us all in the same class. But this is the key. You're not exempt because you have a different personality. You'll just find a different way to do it. She was very outspoken. She was very, she had a great personality. Everyone that met her would laugh, and she would smile and laugh with them. And she had no problem just engaging people going by. So as at the end, after the service, though, we told her, of course, Pastor David's message, we said our theme this year is speaking up and the need to speak up. And she said, oh, that's true. She said, let me tell you what happened years ago when I was a young person. She said, our church was having services all week long. And she said, I was going to church. And it was some evening, so I was walking down the street, and there was a bunch of guys on the side of the road. And as she said, as it went by, one of the guys spoke up and said, hey, pretty girl, where are you going? Can I go with you? And she said, yes, you can. And he said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to church. And so he just sort of quietly went back into the group. She said, I walked on four or more steps. She said, I turned around and I said, aren't you coming? Don't you want to come with me? And then his friend started ribbing him, saying, she's asking you to go. You called her a pretty good lady. She's giving you the invitation. You need to go with her. So she said he actually got up and went with her. And he went to church with her that night. And she said he gave his heart to the Lord that evening. And then she said, you know who he is today? She said, he's a pastor. And he oversees a number of churches. And she says, every time I see him, he'll say, there's the pretty girl that led me to the Lord. She spoke up. She could have walked on. She could have been offended that they were speaking to her. But just in a lightness and in a joyful way, a playful way, she invited him to come. It broke down his resistance. He went. It was his time. God wanted to speak to that man. He knew what was awaiting him. And thank the Lord she spoke up. What a great reason that she did. So we said goodbye to her. The next day we happened to run into her again. And I said to her, if your ears are burning next Sunday, I said, I'm probably going to use you as an example in my mess. She goes, really? And I said, yeah. I said, you do exactly what we're talking about this. You're speaking up to people. You're not letting opportunities go by. She said, well, it's interesting you said that. She said, when I was walking over here, she said, I met a guy who was on the side, you know, they were sitting around different places. She said, I noticed he had real tired eyes. I think he was a workman there. And he said, and she said to him, you getting enough sleep? Your eyes look tired. He goes, no, he said, I'm not. I stay up late. He said, I'm always out partying. And he said, when I come home, he said, I can't sleep. And she goes, really? She said, let me tell you something. She said, I'll tell you something that will help you. She said, take some milk and honey and drink that before you go to sleep. She says, I think that will really help you. And so he sort of nodded, and then she said to him, you know what, I'll even tell you something better. She said, you need to give your heart to Jesus. Because Jesus, once you give your heart to the Lord, he controls your life. He becomes your Lord. He takes care of you. He gives you sleep. You don't have to be out carousing. He gives you joy. And she said, you never have to worry because he takes care of you. And she was telling us this. She just left this guy. I thought to myself, now we could say those are just random things. How does that affect anything? God makes connections. You think that when God gives you an opportunity and you speak up, nothing's going to happen? In fact, I think that's your next point, if I'm not mistaken. It makes a difference every time you speak up. My word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God knows who's around us. He knows what their thoughts are, their prayers, their circumstances in life. And he will put that person next to you, listen, that you're tailor-made to speak up to. He knows who your words and the way you would say it and the expression of how you would do it. He connects. He puts people with us. He's told us to go into the world. You don't think he's preparing a way for us to go to speak his word? I just was amazed at Maris. I said, that's just amazing. She said, you know, I'll tell you something that happened a little while ago at home. She said she lived in Brooklyn, New York. She was an accountant, so she was quite an accomplished lady. She actually headed up the accounting firm of this major company. So she wasn't just someone who, you know, she's just naive. Now, she was naive spiritually. But it's not like this person, you know, said, oh, they don't know any better. No, she was a very accomplished person. And she said, you know, they were in a line somewhere. And people were trying to get in this line to get up the front. And this lady just rudely came in from the side, butted her way through, got right to the front of the line, and went through whatever, and she was on her way. And the lady standing behind Maris said, what the nerve. Did you see the nerve of that lady? I can't believe how rude she was just to push up and through like that. And Maris said to her, well, yeah, but maybe she was late for work and she had to get there. Maybe she had already been warned and been late before and she got delayed this morning and they told her, you know, you don't have any more chances. You're late again. You're going to be fired. And she said, maybe she's got a family she's got to take care of. And the lady said to her, you're such a nice person. You are such a good person. And Mary said, Oh, no, I'm not. She said, I'm really upset. But she said, you know what? I'm a Christian. And she said, I serve Jesus. And Jesus tells us not to judge people and to forgive people. Be gracious to people. Be kind to people. And she said, and I've learned to do that. Well, this lady was so impressed. She said, Mary, can I have your phone number and your email? And Mary said, she talked for months with this lady back and forth. And she would ask her questions and about the Lord. You see, you never know. We let opportunities just go by. And I'm telling you, Maris was an embodiment of how this is to work. And I witnessed it. I watched her. And I saw the reactions of people. And I just was amazed because she was speaking up. She was salt. She was light. She wasn't offensive. She wasn't, you know, causing people to feel uncomfortable. She just had a way of speaking up, but speaking truth to people. And I thought to myself after Kay and I was talking about it, I said, you know, I bet you all those people she talked to, the guy that said his grandmother was a Christian, the guy with the tired eyes, the lady that heard her, you know, defend, as it were, the lady that was butting in. I said, that's got to be turning over in their minds. I said, I believe every time that young guy sees his grandmother, he's going to think what Maris said to him. You know what? That's fine for your grandmother, but what about you? You need to give your heart to the Lord. So we need to realize that every time we speak up, it's going to make a difference. Now listen, the next point is this. God's kingdom is extended by speaking words. God's kingdom is extended by speaking words. Like, God created this world through words. He spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. It was all in God's mind what he was going to do. But in the Genesis account, it took place over 6 days. What happened on the fourth day did not happen on the second day, because he didn't speak it to the fourth day. And that spoke to me. If God created this world with words, and now he's extending his kingdom on earth, and he's told us that we are to go and speak his words, we are ambassadors, we're witnesses, every word we speak is not going to return void. It's a building block. Oh, maybe the person didn't respond right there. It might be four times later someone talked to them, and then it clicks. We don't know. We can't judge. It's not us to change people. We can't save anyone. We're just called to be witnesses. Just tell people what God did for us. Jesus speaks today through our vocal cords. As far as we know, we're the only creation of God that can speak. We can formulate thought. We can put truths together and speak them. And God says, use those vocal cords on earth today as he was ascending to heaven. He told him, he said, I'm going away, but you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to speak my words. It's better I actually go away, because there's so many of you. You'll be in all over societies, just like we said earlier. You're going to be salt and light sprinkled all over the world. You're my spokesman. He's going to use our vocal cords. If you're not yielding your vocal cords, how is God's kingdom going to be advanced through you? And what will you say when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we give account of the deeds done in the flesh, and we see how others had spoken? I don't want to follow Maris. And she spoke the word, and he says, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Then I'm next. And what did you do? You know, I think we need to take this to heart, because this is exactly what the Bible says. He's given us this message. That's why you're on earth. We're not just here to get a better life on earth and ask God to bless everything we do so we have a better life on earth. No, we're ambassadors of another nation, the nation of God. We're here to speak God's truth, to enlighten people, to share. How will they hear unless we speak? How will they believe unless someone speaks up? We read the scripture. He wants to use you. He wants to use your voice. This challenges me. I tell you, just being around Maris challenged me because she was living it so naturally, so easily, so conscious, just to speak the words of Jesus. We are his spokesman. The message of Jesus is carried by our words. Now, you may have heard this quote. I've heard it, seen it many times, even in Christian books. It says this: share Christ wherever you go, and if necessary, use words. And that sounds so good, but that is so wrong. That is a faulty statement. You need to say words if the kingdom of God is going to be advanced. He's given us a message to share with people. Now, if you only say the words and you don't have actions to follow, then it will fall void. Jesus said, give a cup of water, but do it in the name of the Lord. Somehow associate your good works, the smallest thing you do for someone, associate it somewhere to Jesus. Reference Jesus somehow in doing that good work. You know, I remember within the first year when we first came up here to Kitchener to start the church, I was driving up the Conestoga Expressway. There was a car off the side of the road. As I was driving up, I saw there was a lady out beside the car. It had a flat tire. And I almost drove on, but I thought, you know what, I should help her. So I pulled off. Those were days before, I guess, CAA and cell phones and anything. And so she said, my tire's low, I don't know what to do. And I said, I'll help you. So I went and got the jack out of the trunk, jacked the car up and changed the tire for her and told her, you know, to go and get it repaired. And she was so thankful. She just said, thank you for doing that. That is so nice of you to do this. So I got in the car, she got in her car, I drove away. I felt convicted. Felt the Lord say to me, you did a nice thing for that lady, but you never mentioned my name at all. She's not referencing you did that as unto me and because of my love in your heart. And I, from that time on, I just determined, you know, when I do something, I want to somehow graciously, not in an offensive way, not something that stands out in a weird way, but I want to reference the name of Jesus somehow. Just like Maris did when, you know, you're a nice person. She said, no, I'm not. But Jesus is helping me to be different. That's what we need to do. Somehow deflect to Jesus. You need to just be in prayer and ask God for you to do this naturally and graciously. In reality, not just saying it, I mentioned the name of Jesus here. No, it's because you are doing it as unto the Lord. And that's your motivation, is to do it as unto the Lord. That brings us to the next point. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 puts it this way, speaking the truth in love. Now, here are two guidelines. We are to speak truth. And we've been talking about it. We need to speak up. But we need to do it in love. And so, yes, all the things we've said already, you need to be conscious that why you're here on this earth. I wrote these things down. First of all, I put this statement. Engaging in conversations are the means of expression. If you're going to be a witness, engaging people in conversations are the means to do it. Your success as a witness is a result of your persistent expression of truth to people, one conversation at a time, one encounter at a time. Just saying, Lord, every person I meet, Lord, is there an opportunity for me just to share your word? And just look for it and step into it rather than just being shy. We need to speak up. I wrote these questions down. How often have you held back because you were afraid of what others would think or say? How often have you remained silent when something was said that you knew was wrong because you didn't want to be impolite? How often have you seen something that wasn't right but didn't say anything because you didn't want to stir anything up? This is going to cause some kind of conversation here and difference, and so I won't say anything. How often have you seen someone who was about to make a bad decision, but you didn't want to be singled out by saying something? How often have you gone along with the group instead of speaking up because you didn't want to be singled out? Folks, if you're a Christian, you're going to be singled out. And it's not always for bad. You can be singled out for good. The Bible says that we're going to be known to the world by through our love, our acts of love, our words that we speak. We're light. We give light to people. We speak words that bring life. And so don't be afraid to speak up. Don't never not say anything because you think, you know what, I'm going to be embarrassed. I'm going to put myself in a bad light. Folks, if you're not going to do it there, you're going to be a bad light in the judgment. Because that's what we're here for, to speak up. So that's the first part. But there's the second part, and folks, this is really important. We are to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And this is what I wrote. Express truth motivated by love and expressed in love. And that's going to come through by showing acceptance and forgiveness to people. Really, there's no they, us. We're all loved by God, cared by for God. God loves everyone. He loves the sinner. He cares about them. He grieves over the sinner. Now, we read a lot of Old Testament verses, which is before the cross. It talks about how judgment's going to fall on the wicked. But we don't realize that was Old Testament. When Jesus came, now listen, Jesus said in the verse says, in after John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The next verse says, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. You know, many times as Christians, we feel like we're the sin police. You know, we're going to catch someone sinning. We're going to give them a fine. We're going to arrest them. We're going to tell them they're wrong. All that I'm saying here about speaking up is not to be interpreted that I'm just going off and I'm telling everyone what they've done wrong. We're not to be offense detectives. You know, could have been an offense there. Not sure, but I'll dig into it. I'll find out whether there was an offense there. Yes, you know what I really think? When they said that about me, they had an ulterior motive. That's what they meant when they said that. And so, you know what we think? Well, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And we feel justified because we're supposed to speak up. But we're not speaking up in love. We're not speaking up with a heart that God has towards people. Jesus didn't condemn people. He didn't condemn sinners. Now listen, they brought the adulterous woman. They threw her down in front of him. All the men standing there with stones in their hands, they say to Jesus, you know, she sinned. The law says she's to be stoned. What do you say? We're ready right here. And if he doesn't say the right thing, they're going to say, yeah, you don't keep the law. You're a compromiser. And Jesus said, you that are without sin, cast the first stone. Jesus was saying, you're condemning her for her sin, which is obvious. But what about your sin? If you're without sin, then you cast the stone. See, the Bible tells us we're not to judge, but God is the judge. Why can he be the judge? Because he's perfect. He knows everything. I don't know everything. I don't know the backstory. I don't know why they did that. I don't know what happened to them a week before. I don't know the abuse they might have suffered as a child. I don't know the pain they've gone through. All I see is the act. Let's stone them. And I got the stone. I'm going to verbally give it to them. Now, to these men's credit, they dropped the stones. And Jesus turned to the woman with such beautiful words. Neither do I condemn you. You know what? Jesus was a friend of sinners. They knew he was on their side. He loved them. He never compromised once. But he loved them. He cared for them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus hung on the cross, dying for the world, you know, suffering the pain of dying on the cross. And what are the people that he's dying for? They're jeering him and taunting him. But he doesn't react to it because his love overwhelms him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. Folks, you need to remember that if someone hurts you or wrongs you, and you've got the stone in your hand. That person probably didn't know what they were doing. They don't know the Lord. They're reacting just in human ways. But we're to be salt and light in the world. We're to express God's love to people. Folks, this is why, this is so important. When Jesus told in Acts 1 for them to go and to be witnesses, but he said, don't go yet. Wait for the promise of the Father. So they went and waited 10 days in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Because he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Folks, we can't do this in our own strength. You can't just say, I'm going to speak nice words to people. If it's not from your heart, God's Spirit needs to fill your heart, overwhelm your heart. You need to feel the love for people that God feels for people. And I have to confess, I don't feel that all the time. I see the wrong, I see the injury, I can take up an offense for someone else. Look what they did to that person, they should never have done that. We want to move in and arrest them and take them to the judge and in fact, we want to be the judge. We hold the gavel in our hand. We're ready to give the sentence. And Jesus said, don't judge. It's not your place to judge. You got sin. You don't see your sin. I'm looking. I'm seeing every one of those men holding a stone. They got sin in their life. Then in my eyes, it's no worse than the woman that was in adultery. So here's what we do. At least these men drop the stones. What we do, we don't throw the stone, but we hold on to it. Okay, I didn't say anything. I didn't act. I'm just carrying this hurt with me. I got the stone ready to have him let him have it. Maybe down the road, 3 or 4 days, or you know, something's going to happen again. It's going to make me realize they deserve this, and I'm going to heave the stone at them. Folks, we got to let the stone go from our hands. You're never going to see people saved when you're there ready to judge them and condemn them and criticize them and make them feel like they're nothing. Grace transforms people. The law does not transform people. The Bible tells us if the law could have brought life, then Jesus would not have had to die. The law will not change us, but grace will change us. How is that grace of God shown to people? Through us, whose hearts are filled with love for people. And we're not trying to not judge them. We genuinely, because of the love of God, realize Jesus loves this person. He's got a plan for their life. I don't know their backstory. I don't know why they are the way they are, but they come across my pathway. And I have words of life to give them. It's not that you ignore their sin. It's not that you say everything's okay. But you shine light in their situation and you speak truth to them in love where they know they're not condemned, but you're showing them a better way. So if you're going to speak truth in love, we've always heard this expression, love finds a way. Love will find a way. You may not know what to say, but if you truly love someone and you're praying for your, it says, love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Do good to those who hate you. You can only do that if you have Christ's love in your heart. You can't just say, I'm going to, if you have a heart of judgment towards someone, it's hard to pray for them. It's hard to really do all these things. And we go, and I've heard people say, it's impossible to do that. Yes, it is. But not if you have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, you can't go and do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with my Spirit. Be filled with my love. Care for people. Love people. Lay down your life for people just as I laid down my life for people. That's what's going to transform them. That's what's going to change them. So let me give you the fill-ins here. I've sort of gone over it, but here's the fill-ins. Refuse, or at least the points. Refusing to be alienated and put off by the sin of others is what qualifies us to speak up. You're only qualified to speak up if you really not looking at the sin, you're looking at their need. You can read the verse here, Galatians 6:1. I could spend a long time on this, but I'm not. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, those of you who have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, those of you that have been filled with love for this person, you care for this person more than you care for yourself. You that are spiritual, restore such a one. Not expose someone. I'm going to go and expose this. This has got to be exposed. No, you go to restore. There's a reason you're going. And it goes on to say that we go with a spirit of gentleness. And we go considering that we're also tempted. We're no different. We're just a different way we sin. Your next point is this. We are not to become judgmental. We're not to become judgmental. Put the gavel down. It's not yours to hold. There is a judgment coming, and the Lord is going to be a righteous judge. You're not the righteous judge. We're just to be a spokesman of grace and mercy, telling people where they can find forgiveness and their life can be changed. Your words are nullified when spoken from judgment, anger, or hurt. When you just have to bite your tongue or you're going to say something, then you better bite your tongue. Because whatever words you say that's coming out of anger, out of hurt, out of offense, I've been offended, they should never have done that, I'm going to tell them, you might as well hold your voice. You think you're right? Listen, Kay and I were reading yesterday the reading of, the year, and some of you read it too. Job chapter 4, after the three friends come, they sit for 3 days and look at Job. And then the beginning of Job chapter 4, Eliphaz says, you know what? I held my peace. I can't hold my words anymore. I've got to speak. He tells Job, in essence, through all those chapters, why do you keep saying you're innocent? Things like this doesn't happen to people unless they've sinned. So you keep saying that your heart is right, you have integrity, but God doesn't judge people. People don't suffer like you unless they've sinned. Now, there's some truth in that. Sin causes suffering. But Eliphaz had it all figured out. He was telling Job. He was so sure in his mind what to tell Job. But you know, at the end of Job, when God finally speaks, he speaks to Eliphaz and his friends, and he says this: the words you spoke to Job are not my words. Now, there was truth in some of the words Eliphaz said about if you love God, he's going to bless you, and all. But he was wrong in saying, Job, you're suffering, you had to have sinned, and so you need to repent. And that was his message. Folks, do we see a little bit of Eliphaz in us? I mean, every time we talk to someone, I know why you're suffering. You did this and that, and you need to repent, and you need to change, and that's why all this has come upon you. I'm so sure of it. I can give you scripture and verse. And what we need to do is just, maybe like they did the first 3 days, just sit with them. Try to comfort them. Try to care for them. Try to discern, because you love Job. Maybe God, what are you saying to this man? And then speak words of life to him. I don't know. But I just know we're like this so often. And I don't want our theme to be misconstrued. I don't want you to think, my theme is speak up. So every time I see a wrong, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to challenge. I'm going to condemn. I'm going to criticize. I'm going to tell them how they should live, how they should do something different. Now, there might come a time you can do that if you've loved them and you cared for them and they've opened up and they ask you, I don't like the way I'm living. And then talk to them about the relationship with Jesus. Jesus coming in your life, he can change you. He can fill your heart with love. Just like Mary said to the man, you don't have to be out carousing every night. God will give you joy. You don't have to worry. God will give you peace. You see how this works? We're to speak truth, but we're to speak it in love. And the love we're to speaking in is the love of God for us and for everyone in this world. You need to start loving people. You need to start loving sinners. And we can't do that without God's love in our hearts. So here's the feeling. Speaking the truth is not criticism. Show them the way without condemnation. Love will find a way. If you're praying for someone every day, love will find a way. God will give you the opening, a time to speak into their life. Love is the road that truth must travel over. If there's no love, if there's no pathway, if there's no preparation, you're to speak the truth in love, on the pathway of love. So how do we do that? I was thinking about this. And I was thinking about Maris. Everything she said to people, she said it in a light way. She didn't say it in a heavy way. She didn't condemn people. She made them think. She said it with a joy in her heart and a laughter. And you knew that she cared for people just the way she treated them and talked to them. So you say it with humor. You say it with a smile. You say things in a self-deprecating way. You're not trying to make, you know, if you could be like me. No, you identify. I'm just like you, but God's done something in my life. He's forgiven me. He's changed me. He's making me a better person. And God wants to do the same for you. So there's no holier than thou, and I'm telling you what you must do. And if you could only be like me, you know, People do not like a holy Joe. They don't like people they look at and go, wow, look at them, look at them, look how good they are, look at that. I could never be like that. You know who they identify with? Someone that says, I'm just like you. I have my faults and my failures, but boy, I'm serving a God who forgives me. And I look for his forgiveness every day, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he's changing my life. That's a powerful witness that people realize if he can do it for them, he can do it for me, because you're not condemning them. A heart of love finds the right way and the best words to speak up. And that's what you have to look for. Love people and let him show you the way. So when you're praised for something, deflect it to Jesus. Redirect conversations and bring it to the Lord in a very natural and real way. Maris goes away from us the last time we saw her. And I'm still thinking about her and the example she's setting. And as I'm there, this man walks up and he's telling me, it doesn't matter the details. He's telling me how he had a sunburn and he got burned and goes on and on. And then he's telling me, you know, he said, I was watching the news last night. And you know, do you hear about the UFOs they spotted in Florida? He goes, that's just crazy. He said, what's that? And I wouldn't normally just let it go, but I'm thinking of Maris. And I say, well, you know, the Bible says that in the last days, there's going to be signs and wonders and things that's going to happen in the heavens, and people are going to scratch their head and wonder what it's all about. I said, you know what? We're probably in the last days. The Lord's real, and there's promises in the Word about him. And you know what? He didn't react. He didn't stiffen, because I was just carrying on a conversation with him, adding my point of view. And he goes, yeah, I said, doesn't Revelation talk about the apocalypse? And I said, yeah, people that don't know the Lord, I said, these things are going to happen. And I wasn't able to finish the conversation, because right there someone came up and said, John, we got to go, and he left. But I thought to myself, you know what, at least I planted a seed. At least I planted a seed that all these things he's wondering about, maybe the Bible has the answers to them. See, I don't know and will never know. All we are to do is just speak words and take every opportunity we can to talk to people. Well, are you ready to take up the job of being witnesses? If you are, why don't you stand with me? This is an overwhelming task if we try to do it in our own strength. But when you are filled with the Spirit of God and he pours his love in your heart, and you have a heart of compassion for everyone in this world, and you're thinking more about the person than they are or what they did, it's going to open you to talk to many, many people. And you're going to be surprised at the stories you're going to have and the effect you'll have. Because this is what God has for us. So I want to dedicate my life again. I want to speak the truth, but I want to speak it in love. I need to seek God. I just need to pray for people. I need to have God give me his heart for people. I need to see people the way he sees them. And I know if I do that, I'll speak the right words, because love will find a way. And if you feel that way, would you just raise your hand as I pray with us? Lord, your word is so affirming to us. Lord, this makes so much sense to us, really. We're so conditioned, Lord, to condemn people and to tell them what they should do and to correct people. And Lord, we know there's times to do that, but it's to do it in love, and you're going to make a way for us to do it in love. Fill our hearts with your love. Fill us. May we feel towards people the way you feel towards them. Change us, Lord. Help us to be powerful, effective witnesses in this world, ambassadors for you, salt and light sprinkled throughout this world. I pray for every person here. There's not one person that cannot feel this baptism of your Holy Spirit. Do it right now in Jesus' name. And we pray for boldness, and that you would confirm your word with signs following.